Mesechtes Bava Kama, Daf Zayin, 7 lines in the bottom of Daf Vava and Beis, and the Gemara was discussing on Mishnah, which stated that Tzad HaShavish Ben, the Tzad HaShavish between the Dal of and Zikin is, Shedakon Hazak Shmirosim Lecha, Ucha Shehizik Chava Mazak L'Shalom Teshlumi Nezek B'Meitav Ha'oretz. And as we discussed, although it's clear for the Mishnah that L'Divri HaKol, when the Mazak pays for his damages, he has to pay B'Meitav Ha'oretz. However, we saw that there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva as to how exactly to define B'Meitav Ha'oretz, as the Pasuk states in Pashim Mishpatim, Ki Yavir Sodoi Kerem Vishilachas Be'irai Ubir B'Steacha Meitav Sedeo Meitav Karma Yishalim. And based on Xer Shava, Rabbi Shmuel taught us that Meitav Sedeo Shal Nizik Umeitav Karma Shal Nizik, that when coming to define what is Idyas, we look at the best field that the Nizik has, and then if the Mazik has a similar type of field, if the Mazik decides to make his payment from Kaka and not from Metaltlin, you would have to pay back from similar Idyas that the Nizik has. And we will give an example to this in a moment. As we saw, Rabbi Kiva arguing, and he said, "Le'bar kosev aligvus l'nezakim in idyas," that the Torah is telling us when paying for your nezek, you have to pay from idyas. And we explained that Rabbi Kiva is teaching us that if the mazik has a better piece of land than the nezek, then the mazik would have to pay from that piece of land, and he wouldn't only have to pay based on the land that the nezek has. And of course, l'fizeh, it would come out that Rabbi Kiva is being machber over the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. And as our Gemara now continues, that Rabbi Kiva omar le'bar kosev aligvus l'nezakim Zakim and Idyas, the Kavachema Legdish, and Rabbi Kiva added in the words that this would be a Kavachema to a din that was relevant to a case of Hegdish. And when we learned the Shita Rabbi Kiva, we saw that Rashi said, the Kavachema Legdish, Mefarish Lakamon, and our Gemara now is, my Kavachema Legdish, what does it mean when Rabbi Kiva said that there's a Kavachema to a case Binagay Hegdish, and what case are we referring to? Before we continue, we will point out two different ideas that is important to know for our Sugya. Number one, as the Gemara came out, Lafida Maskonas HaGemara, that certainly there is no is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva as to the amount that the Mazik has to pay, and certainly the Mazik has to pay based on the actual amount that is proven that he damaged or that his animal or his property damaged. However, the machlek is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is as to how to make that payment and what is the quality of the kaka that you would have to pay. And let us also clarify that there will be two different types of grading of kaka that we will discuss. Number one is if a person has three different types of kaka, then personally and subjectively he has a better field, he has a middle field, and he has a worse field, and therefore, subjectively, he owns a kaka that's idyas, he owns a piece of kaka that's bainus, and he owns a piece of kaka that's zibarius. And when discussing various classes of property, we will call them grade A, grade B, or grade C property, or class A, class B, and class C property. However, keep in mind that although someone's best field may be their idyas, however, in the world, it could be that there are idyas that are better than that, and that in the world, this would not be considered a property that's considered a property that's graded as an A property. And potentially on an objective basis, although a person's grade A property may be his best property, but in the world and on an objective basis, it would not be considered the best property, and maybe in the world there's better property which would be considered idyas da'alma. And for example, if Reuven owns three properties, one is worth $250 an acre, one is $500 an acre, and one is $1,000 an acre, and certainly we know that he has properties which are idyas and bainus and ziburius based on what he actually owns. However, in the world, there are properties which are valued, for example, at $2,000 an acre. And really, that is idyas da'alma, and his idyas is only based on subjective value and not based on objective value. And similarly, there could be property which is considered idyas da'alma and is valued at $2,000 an acre, but then there could be something which we will call triple-A rated property, which could be valued at $10,000 an acre, which is, of course, out of the price range of most people, and that is not really considered idyas, and let's call it idyas to idyas, and it may be a very uniquely situated or a very unique type of property, and therefore it has a much larger value than the type of field that most people would categorize as idyas. Finally, as we mentioned, we will get back to an actual scenario where there's nafka mina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, and as we saw previously, that if the Nizik's best property was grade C property, and Mazik's worst property is grade C property, and if you Rabbi Shmuel, we would shum ben Nizik, and since the best property that the Nizik owns is grade C property, therefore, when Reuven comes to pay back Shimon, he would only have to pay him from his grade C property, even though Reuven has grade A property as well. However, Lefi Rabbi Kiva, since Reuven also owns grade A property and he has idyas, therefore he would have to pay based on the Mazik's best property, and he would have to pay from grade A property. And as we mentioned, we see from here that Rabbi Kiva's shita is more chamur than the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. This haktama will come out handy while we're learning the Gemara, and the Gemara begins: "If you're going to tell me that when Rabbi Akiva said, Kavachayim Legdish, he's referring to Hilchas Nizakin, and he was telling us that if the shor of a person stresses the shor of Hegdish, then based on our Kavachayim, Rabbi Akiva teaches us, and Madoch, if Ruvain shor stresses Shimon shor, that Ruvain has to pay to Shimon based on idios of a Mazik. So therefore, the same would apply that if Ruvain shor stresses the shor of Hegdish, certainly Ruvain would have to pay based on his idios. And the Gemara responds that this can't be Pshat and Rabbi Akiva, because Shore Eowam Rachmana Voloi shor shel Hegdish, that we know this exeris Hakasav, and since the Pasuk of Mishpatim, the Torah tells us, V'chigav shor ish as shor eyu, so we learn out that the only time that Ruvain is chayif and nizakin is only if his animal stresses the shor of his friend and it stresses the shor of Shimon. However, if it stresses the shor of Hegdish, he would actually not be chayif. And although this seems counterintuitive that you should not have to pay to Hegdish, and generally things are much more chamor for Hegdish, but l'maisa, this is the Chiddush HaTorah, and this is what the Gzeiras HaKasav teaches us, and therefore you can't tell me that Rabbi Akiva's din has to do with nizakin of Hegdish. And keep in mind that although we will see on Daf Zayin and Aleph that this is the sheet of the Tanakhama, ultimately we will see that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh actually argues and he holds that even if Ruvain's animal stresses the animal of Hegdish, that he would be chayiv. And Rashi and Tesis are both bothered that although it's true that we see the pasuk of Chiyigav Shor Ish as Shor Eyu, and we learn out Shor Eyu and Rachmana of Loi Shor Shel Hegdish, but L'chayir that is only by Karen and not by Shen V'Regel and not by other Nizakin, and therefore let us say that the point of Rabbi Akiva is that Kavachayim al Hegdish ben Egeya other Nizakin, that if Ruvain's animal damages Hegdish either through Shen V'Regel or through any of the other Hezekin that we mentioned, then the din would be that he would have to pay May Idias. And Rashi states simply, V'huadin l'chol shan nizokin, shim mazik zhegdish potter, that the din is also applied to all the rest of the nizokin, that if Ruvain or any of the things that is chayiv and shmira on is mazik hegdish, that Ruvain would be potter. And Ayin Taisis, who goes through this point in more detail. Based on this question, the Gemara continues and states, El lo imare le mono le betta gabayis, that when Rabbi Akiva said the kavachim le hegdish, he wasn't referring to nizokin at all. He was telling us that just like we find b'negei nizokin, that Ruvain is chayiv to pay min idias, the same would apply if Ruvain promises to give $100 to Bet Kabayis and to Hegdish, then when the Gizba comes to collect $100, the Gizba could take this from the Kaka of Ruvain and he would collect min idias. And as the Gemara says, the Asi Gizba v'shakal min idias. And the Gemara continues and asks on this way of explaining Rabbi Akiva, the lo yehei el b'chayiv u'b'chayiv b'beinis. How could Rabbi Akiva try to bring a kal v'chema from the din of nizokin to the din where someone promised something to Bet Kabayis, if l'chayra it's not a case of hezek, and when someone promises something to Bet Kabayis, that's similar to someone owing money to a lender? And we know if Ruvain borrows money from Shimon, that Shimon can only collect mibeinis and he can't collect from idias, and therefore why would we think that the din of Hegdish would be greater than a regular person, and you can't bring a raya from Nizokin, as Nizokin has no connection to the dinim that are relevant to Bali Chayiv? When Ruvain promises to give $100 to Hegdish, we should compare that to a case where Ruvain owes money to a Bali Chayiv. Certainly in that case, the lender can only collect from beinis. And really the question is even deeper than this, because really on a derisive level, when Ruvain borrows money from Shimon, Shimon really could only collect from Ruvain from Zeboiris. However, the Rabbanim were concerned that lenders won't want to lend money, and therefore, Shalaitinal Delos Bifay Lovin, and Mepay Tikkun Oilam, the Rabbanim made a takana, the lender could collect from Beinus. Therefore, certainly it's true that when Ruvain promises money to Hegdish, that's really stronger than when Ruvain borrows money from Shimon, because you're doing something that has relevance to Hegdish. However, Lemaisa, even by a Bal Chayiv, really Midoraisa should only collect from Zeboiris, and it's only Mepay Takana that you collect from Beinus. And l'chayr, this takana is not relevant by Hegdish, and therefore, really, Hegdish should only be able to collect from Zeboiris. And even if Rabbi Akiva would have some sort of kavachayma, at most he would say that he could be goyv from Beinus, but why would Rabbi Akiva say that the gizba could collect from idias? Rabbi Akiva kol b'chayv nami b'idias. Maybe we will say that Rabbi Akiva actually holds that every b'chayv will also be goyv from idias, and the reason is because Rabbi Akiva compares the din of b'chayv to din of nizakin, and just like midiraisa, someone that's mazik someone else pays me idias, as Rabbi Akiva stated. Therefore, maybe Rabbi Akiva compares the din of b'chayv to that, and even on derisive level, malva will be able to collect from idias. Maybe that's why Rabbi Akiva says the kavachayim lehegdish, that certainly the gizba should be able to collect from idias, just like we find that a malva could collect from idias. And the Gemara responds that even if that would be true, but ikel mifrach, the kavachayim would still not work, as we would be able to ask the following: mala b'chayv shkin yafu keichah b'nizakin. Then maybe it makes sense that we should compare the din of b'chayv to the din of nizakin, because as we said before, that the pasuk says kigav shar ish as shari eyu. Therefore, as we stated, that certainly by hedit the din is that you pay for nizakin. And for example, if Ruvain's axe or Ruvain's item that he's chayiv and shmiran goes and damages Shimon's axe or Shimon's item or Shimon himself, certainly Ruvain would have to pay for Shimon's damages from idias. Therefore, it makes sense that potentially a malva will also be able to collect his debt from Idyas. However, certainly you can't extend his din, b'negiyah the din of Hegdish, and b'negiyah the din where Reuven promises to give $100 to Hegdish. L'maisa could be that since we see b'negiyah and Zokin, that the pasuk teaches us shareyu v'loy shor shel Hegdish, and therefore if Reuven's acts or if Reuven damages the shor of Hegdish, Reuven is potter l'gamri, and if so, potentially where Reuven promises to give $100 to Hegdish, maybe we also place Hegdish at a disadvantage, and potentially the Gizba would not be able to collect from Reuven min ha'idyas. And once again, based on this question, the Gemara now will go back and change the pshat in Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva said, the Gemara now says, that really we will go back to the original Teretz, that the case of Rabbi Kiva is where Reuven Shor damaged the Shor of Hegdish, and that you asked, that how can you say Rabbi Kiva is talking about that case, and Reuven would have to pay min ha'idyas, if Reuven would not have to pay at all, as the Torah tells us, and we learn that the only time that someone's responsible to pay for damages is only when they damage Shari'ehu, and not if they damage the Shar of Hegdish. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Kiva, Savlak Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, however, that sheet is only the sheet of Tanakama, and Rabbi Kiva holds like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, the Tanya, as we're going to learn in Bryce and Daflam Zayin Rabbeis, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, Ema, Shar Shal Hegdish, Shinogak Shar Shal Hegdish, Pata, and if a Shar of Hegdish stises a Shar Shal Hegdish, then certainly Hegdish would be Pata, but Shar Shal Hegdish, Shinogak Shar Shal Hegdish, Bein Tam, Bein Mur, Mishalam Nezik Shalim. However, if the Shar of Reuven stises and damages the Shar of Hegdish, then the din is not, as we said before, that Reuven is Pata, but actually we're more Machmer and Reuven, and even if his Shar is a Tam, Reuven would be chayav to pay Nezik Shalim. Rashi points out that Rabbi Shimon Manasseh is not arguing on the Tanakama as to his Diak of Shar Re'eu v'loy Shar Shal Hegdish. However, whereas the Tanakama said, the Pasuk is teaching us a Kula b'negei Hegdish, and is teaching us that if Reuven Shar damages the Shar of Hegdish, that Reuven will be Pata Gamri, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh tells us that the Pasuk is telling us that the only time there's a difference between a Tam and Mu'ud is only by Shar Re'eu, and only if Reuven Shar damages the Shar of his friend Shimon, then Reuven would only be Chayiv Chetzi Nezek if the animal was a Tam. However, B'negei Hegdish were actually more Machmer, and we say V'loy Shar Shal Hegdish, and if Reuven Shar damages the Shar of Hegdish, then even if Reuven Shar was only a Tam, Reuven would still be responsible to pay Nezek Shalim to Hegdish. And Rabbi Kiva is teaching us the Kavah Chayim al Hegdish, that in this case, Hegdish would be able to be given from Reuven, min ha'idyas, and from the best of Reuven's fields. The Gemara will now continue and actually go through the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. In reality, once we learn the question and the answer of the Gemara, it would seem very poshut, but it seems that the Gemara is just saying this to get to the end result and to be mefarish the Mishnah very well, both according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Kiva. And the Gemara is, if you're telling me that when Rabbi Kiva said the Kavachim al Hegdish is talking about a case where the Shor of Reuven stoises the Shor of Hegdish, if so, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva might have added to Nizik because he the Mazik Kamifgi, who said that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva also chaylik in a case where Reuven Shar stoises the Shar of Shimon, and now the question is what type of idiots Reuven has to pay back, and Rabbi Shmuel holds Shamina Bidin Nizik, and Rabbi Kiva holds that Shamina Bidin Mazik, Dilma de Kulamba Bidin Nizik Shaminon. Why can't we say that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are not chaylik regarding that din, and even Rabbi Kiva agrees to what we thought Rabbi Shmuel stated, and Rabbi Kiva would also agree that when Reuven would want to pay from Kaka, he has to pay from idiots and Bidin Nizik Shaminon. And they're only arguing b'negeya hegdish and not b'negeya payment from idyas if it's from the nizik or if it's from the mazik. And as the Gemara states, v'hachab hukter Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi v'rabbanan kamifli, and let us say that the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is based on the machlekes if they hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi or like Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiva saw like Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi. Rabbi Kiva says the kavuchem al hegdish he holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi. And if Reuven Shar shtoises the Shar of hegdish, then Reuven would have to pay nezik sholim even if his Shar was a tam. And Rabbi Shmuel saw like Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbanan, the only time that there's a chiyuv tashlumin for nizakin is only if Reuven was mazik Shimon and he's mazik someone that's a hedit. However, if he's mazik hegdish, then he wouldn't be chayiv at all. Maisa, how would you see this from the words of Rabbi Shmuel if Rabbi Shmuel doesn't seem to be talking about hegdish at all? And the Mefarshim explained, because since Rabbi Shmuel said b'dinizik sheminan, Rabbi Kiva understood the words of Rabbi Shmuel that when Rabbi Shmuel said the lashon b'dinizik, it must be referring to a hedit and specifically not the hegdish. And therefore, as Rashi says, the shem Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel the loy ayri el behed. And that's why Rabbi Kiva comes and is chelik on Rabbi Shmuel, and he says, I hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Asya that if Reuven Shor damages the Shor of Hegdish, that he would be chayiv nezik sholim even if he was a tam. And possibly both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree that once the mazik has a chiyuv to pay, either according to Rabbi Shmuel only in the case where he damaged a hedit, or according to Rabbi Kiva even in the case where he damaged Hegdish, then you would pay him an idyas and you'd be shaminim b'din nizik. And the Gemara's havmin is also based on the lashon of Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva emailed bar kasav aligvus in the zakim idis. And although Rabbi Akiva says that the mazik would pay min idis, however, it doesn't say that it's based on the domain mazik, and therefore, quite possibly, we could say that Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Shmuel that once you pay min idis, you evaluate what idis is based on idis of the nizik. And in response to this havamina, in order to explain the shita of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel very well, Gemara answers that certainly there are two machleksim over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. First of all, there's machlekes regarding the din of the nizik shaminon or the mazik shaminon, and then there's a question as to if Reuven would be chayev for damaging hegdish or not. And the Gemara asks, number one, in Cain, my leibah kosev, that the lashon of Rabbi Akiva is leibah kosev aligvus l'nezakim in idis, and it's mashma that he's arguing on Rabbi Shmuel as to what the din is regarding collection as well. And although Rabbi Shmuel says but nizik shaminon, Rabbi Akiva is saying, although I agree that certainly you would collect min idis, but leibah kosev aligvus l'nezakim in idis when collecting min idis, but the mazik shaminon and not but the nizik shaminon. And as Rashi states, in Cain, my leibah kosev, the mashma of kar gufi pligi, the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in the pasuk itself, the leibah kosev lahachi al mebehedit nami pligi, and therefore we see that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are also arguing with Reuven damaged Shimon and not only hegdish. The Gemara continues and asks the second question, va'oid my kavul chaim lahegdish. And as Rashi says, hurim in idis to come Rabbi Akiva nizikai, that if Rabbi Akiva is actually agreeing to Rabbi Shmuel, and when he said that he collect min idis, would it be evaluated based on the nizik's idis, v'akuli as to diavle mazik mizberius, and this way it would be a kula on the mazik, because the mazik would give from his own zberius. So my kavul chaim lahegdish, l'chayr, what are we saying that's a kavul chaim to hegdish? Griusa hava, l'chayr, this is making it easier on hegdish and not making it stronger for Rabbi Akiva, yafakaychay the hegdish. And certainly, according to Rabbi Akiva, the koyach of hegdish is stronger because we know that if Reuven's shor, that's a tam, damages a hegdish, then he would pay chatzin nezek. But if Reuven's animal, that is a tam, damages hegdish, then he would still have to pay nezek sholim to hegdish. And therefore, once again, from the lashon Rabbi Akiva states, it's not mashma like we just stated. Ba'oid, and I'll bring you another raya because I'm Rav Ashi tanya behedid, because Rav Ashi stated that we have a mefurish b'risa that this is actually a shita Rabbi Akiva that the mazik shaminon, because the b'risa states that the pasuk says meitu sedeo meitu kam hishalim meitu sedeo shalizik or meitu kam shalizik to Rabbi Shmuel, which is exactly the words of Rabbi Shmuel that we had in our b'risa. However, in this b'risa, instead of being more vague and stating Rabbi Akiva ima leibah kosev aligvus in the zakim in the idis, which you could explain potentially that he means to say that he's going to be goyim in the idis, but when evaluating we will be b'dinizik shaminon. However, in this b'risa, Rabbi Akiva ima, Rabbi Akiva says mefurish meitu sedeo shalmazik or meitu kam shalmazik. When the Torah tells us that you have to pay meitu sedeo and meitu kamoi, it means you have to pay from the mazik's meitav and the mazik shaminon, and therefore clearly there's two machlekesim in this brisa between Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel. Number one, there's a question when a mazik is coming to pay for the damages that he caused, and certainly he has to pay min idis. The machlekes is, do we evaluate that based on the idis of the nizik, or do we look at the idis of the mazik as well? And number two, Rabbi Akiva adds in that although the Tanakama and from Rabbi Shmuel, it's also mashma that Rabbi Shmuel would hold like the Tanakama, and they hold that if Reuven would damage Hegdish, then Reuven would not be chayiv at all. However, Rabbi Akiva argues and says, "V'kavu chaymel Hegdish," that if Reuven or his possession damage Hegdish, that he would be chayiv, and not only would he be chayiv as standard if he damages Hegdish with his shor tam and through Karen. Although generally the din would be that you'd pay chatzin nezek, in the case of Hegdish, you would actually pay more and you'd pay nezek shalim. And our Gemara continues. Rumli Abai l'Rava, Abai asked the steer to Rava from the following two psukim. Ksiv, it says in the Torah, "Meitu sedeo, meitu kamei shalim, meitiv in midar chinaloi." And as we saw before, that you have to pay me meitiv sedeo and you have to pay min idis. And Abai asked Rava from a brisa, as Batanya, we learned in the brisa that the pasuk says, "Benigei the hezek abar balaboy shalim kesef yoshev lebolov vehemesi aloi." We learn that from the lashon yoshev l'rabbi shavu kesef, that's mabur that you could even pay back with shavu kesef vafilu subin, and you could even pay back bran. And we know that bran is something which is not a good quality item, and therefore you see that you don't have to pay mimeitav, and you can even pay something which is shvach. Ayin Rashi explains the limud that since the Torah says kesef yoshev lebailov to have a lemichtav, and the Torah really could have written balaboy shalom kesef lebailov yoshev to kasev rachman alamli, so why did the Torah write the word yoshev hold faksev yishalim? Therefore it must be l'rabbis kol hashavis, that's coming to include any type of payment. And the pashas, it would seem that this question Abai is asking to Rava is shver bein lefi Rabbi Shmuel and bein lefi Rabbi Akiva, as l'chur it's irrelevant how they are shots up meitiv sedeo meitiv kamoi, and if it's b'dinizik shaminon or b'dinmazik shaminon. And l'chur the same question should apply that we see in the pasuk of meitiv sedeo meitiv kamoi the payment of meitiv, and then we see in yoshev l'rabbi shav kasev hafilu subin. However, I in the top of Rabbi Nachmanel where he says Ramalei Abai l'Rava l'Rabbi Akiva the Tani meitiv sedeo shemazik, that he's asking this question dafka l'fi Rabbi Akiva I in shom, and l'chur there is a definite svara to be mechalek between the shita Rabbi Akiva Akiva and the Shita Rabbi Shmuel, as we said before, Rabbi Akiva is definitely more machmer than Rabbi Shmuel, and l'chayr that could be used to explain Rabbi Nachmanel v'daik. And the Mefarshim discussed that l'chayr wanted the Gemara just answer that although b'negeya the din of Karen and potentially b'negeya the other dinim of Nezikin, we would say they have to pay meitiv sedeil or meitiv kamay, and you have to pay meidis. However, maybe b'dafka b'negeya bar, the Torah tells us ba'al bar yishalim kesef yashuv l'balav v'amesi aloi, and dafka b'negeya bar, the din is you could pay even minasubin. And the Mefarshim explained that although the pasuk of meitiv sedeil or meitiv kamay is discussing the case of shein and regal, however, the Gemara in daf heim and aleph taught us that this gzeir shava of tachas and sina yishalim kesef, that all others in Zikin pay me meitiv sedeil, which includes bar as well, and also misvara. Once we know there's a certain way to pay nezek, then there should be no difference between all of the different nezekin, and bar should not be different. That's why Abaye asked this question to Rava, as he did not feel that this would be a valid teretz. And the Gemara tries to answer loikasha, that's not shver, kam midaitoi kam bal kochoi. If Reuven, who owes money to Shimon based on damages, goes and willingly makes a payment, then he could pay based on however he wants to pay, and he could even pay minasubin. However, if Reuven doesn't agree to pay Shimon, and the only way that Reuven pays Shimon is only once Shimon takes him to Bezin, and Bezin forces Reuven to pay, then the pasuk tells us that meitiv sedeil, meitiv kamay shalim, that at that point we will force them to pay min idis. Mara states, Amaula Breda Rabbi Loi, De Kandami, Zaula Breda Rabbi Loi says, I'll bring you right, it is true. The Siv Benegir, the din of idis, the Torah tells us, meitiv sedeil, meitiv kamay yishalim. As Rashi says, yishalim is mashmo bal kochoi. And the Gemara continues, so Amaula Abaya, Abaya responds back to Rava that this can't be the Teretz, because if yishulam, yishalim siv, midaitim mashmo. If the Torah wanted to specify that it's being done bal kochoi, the Torah should have used the lashon yishulam that it shall be paid. And as Rashi says, yishulam mashma li de'achir and bezin yardun l'chasa d'mazik av yishalim mashma nami midaitai, but the lashon yishalim could be mashma midaitai as well. And as Rava himself just stated, then the pasuk of bal bar yishalim kesef yashuv l'balav, he wanted to explain that that pasuk was talking dafka midaitai, and l'maisa the pasuk says the lashon yishalim, and therefore you see that the lashon yishalim could be midaitai as well. Based on this question, Abaye is now back to his original question that l'chir we have a stira between the pasuk of meitiv sedeil, meitiv kamay yishalim, we would learn out meitiv in midachrin aloi, and the pasuk ben gei bar, which states bala boy yishalim kesef yashuv l'balav, and we learn out shava kesef afilu subin. Before we continue, let's point out that the Rush explains that the havmin of Gemara is that the lashon yishalim definitely is lashon which seems to be bal kochoi, because we have a similar lashon in mishpatim when the pasuk discusses the din of kefil, and the Torah says imatzi tamatzi biyadag neva mishar chamor atzah chayim shnayim yishalim. Certainly, we know that the din is moedah b'knasas potah, and therefore it must be in a case where bezin is forcing him to pay, and it's only in that case that you pay kefil. The lashon that the Torah uses is the lashon of yishalim, and therefore the havmin of the Gemara is that the lashon yishalim is a lashon that refers to something that's being done bal kochoi. And ayin sham, where he brings a raya from a pasuk in Vayikra that the lashon yashiv is a lashon midaitai. And the Gemara continues that after Abaye asked this question from Rava and he wasn't satisfied with Rava's answer, Elam Abaye Kedemar, Abaye now comes up with an answer based on another din that Rava taught us. The Gemara will now go through something that Rava will teach us, which is a din that's relevant to Maisani, and then Abaye will say that based on what Rava taught us, we will also have a scenario where we'll be able to explain these two psukim. Before we begin, let's just discuss the basic dinim of Maisani. So we know there's a din that in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, then the person has to give off 10% of his crop for Maisani. The Chacham said that Ani is defined as someone that doesn't have 200 zuz, but once a person has 200 zuz, they can't take from Maisani. But for example, if a person has 199 zuz, then they are still able to take as much Maisani as they want, and they can even collect 1,000 zuz of Maisani at one shot. However, if this Ani takes one zuz, then he's no longer classified as an Ani, and he can no longer take any more Maisani until, of course, he uses any part of that money, and once again, he's defined and he's characterized as an Ani. Abaye therefore tells us the Tanya we have a Brisa, that if Reuven owns homes and he owns fields and vineyards, and he's not able to sell them quickly, and right now he's cash poor and he doesn't have 200 zuz, then the Chacham allowed Reuven to take Maisani, but he can only take it up to 100 zuz. As Rashi says, that even though it's not easy to sell fields, but if, for example, he has fields which are valued at 200 zuz, then certainly on a fire sale, he'll be able to sell this piece of property for 100 zuz, and therefore the Chacham said, in order to tide him over, we're allowing him to take 100 zuz of Maisani, and this way he will still be an Ani. Then if he sells this piece of property on a fire sale and he receives 100 zuz, then he will have 200 zuz and he'll no longer be an Ani, but you can't give him more than 100 zuz. Rashi explains, zuz, he will sell his kaka for 100 zuz. The tefei palka lo yizai la'ilam, that certainly kaka doesn't depreciate more than 50% by ve'yesh lo yizai zuz, and therefore he will have 200 zuz and will no longer be an oni. It's important to keep in mind that although we said beforehand that once someone is categorized as an oni, then we let him take as much maisa oni as he wants, but over here, the maisa, this person is definitely not an oni at this point because he has a lot of batim and he has sadis and kramim, and therefore, although the chacham were makel on this person, and because he was cash poor, they allowed him to take maisa oni, but they only gave him the right to take up to 100 zuz of maisa oni and no more than that. And keep in mind that although it's not going to be relevant to Hasugya, but Taisi says, Mishahi loy batim, loy mayri batim shedar behem, that we're not talking about any home that he is living in, that there is a concept of a homestead exemption, and when taking into account and deciding if someone is below the poverty level or not, we don't look at the primary residence, and that is not included in the cheshbin. The Gemara continues that Abaye says, that even though we just brought halacha in the Braisa, but Rabba was bothered and he asked, Hechidami, what is the case that the Braisa is referring to? If we're talking about a case that property in general went down in value, and Reuven's property also went down in value, and although he had a property that was originally worth $200, but now it's worth less than that, then we should allow Reuven to go and take even more than that, and he could even take 1,000 zuz, that l'maisa, all property went down in value, and therefore at this point he really is considered oni, as the reason why he can't sell for 200 zuz is because the market conditions went down, and therefore no one will be able to sell this property at 200 zuz. Certainly we can't say that this property was really valued at 200 zuz, since there would be no buyers, and this would be the scenario, and it wouldn't be possible that the Braisa would tell us that all he could take is 100 zuz, as at this point, since he's mamish and oni, Reuven should be able to take as much as he wants at one shot. Rabbi continued and is el da'ika ara de kuli alma, and if you're going to tell me the case was that all the rest of the land of the world stayed at the same price, there was not a deterioration in the actual value of property, but Reuven's property went down in value, as since people saw that he was distressed and he was desperate to sell his property, so therefore they were taking advantage, and therefore they weren't going to buy it for 200 zuz, and they wanted a discount. We continue on Daf Zayin Beis, and Rabbi says that it also can't be the Pshat Braisa, because then the kaka is actually worth 200 zuz, and we should not allow Reuven to take any maisa on it, because the maisa, his actual intrinsic value of this kaka is 200 zuz, and therefore he's not considered on it at all. And Va'amamara law, and Rabbi, an explanation of Braisa tells us, like Leitzricha, the Braisa is talking about a specific case, to be Nisan Yikarato of Yemitishri Zalarata, that the Oni owns land, and during the time of spring, when people go and they plow the fields and they plant their fields for the next crop and for the next year's harvest, so then it's more valuable, and during Nisan, this land would be worth 200 zuz. However, right now, we're during the time of Tishrei and during the fall, people don't want to buy this land, as they can't go and harvest this land in any case, and they can't plant or plow this land until Nisan, and therefore it's unusual for people to sell the fields during the fall, and if someone does, they would actually have to discount the price and potentially discount it up to 50%. As Rashi explains, B'negeya field, B'yemi Nisan Yakri Arata, M'plesha Lekech Nir, B'chayrish Oysan, B'yemi Sakayetz, B'zoyim B'tishrei V'machashvan, V'yemi Tishrei Zili, She'ein Sipik L'zoyim B'yisashana, as you will not be able to plant or plow this land during this year, and you'll have to wait for the next harvest. And Taisus explains that this would also be a svar, B'negeya Batim, the proper time and the proper season to rent homes or to sell homes during the spring, and as Taisus says, Shavagil Shiaku Bizman Shavagil Lischa Batim, and after that time frame, then if someone tries to sell a home, they would have to discount the price. As Rabbi explained, the Kuli Alma Notri Adisan Umzabne, that everyone else would wait until Nisan to sell it and get the full price. But Reuven, who needed money and was cash poor, Zalman Kedhashtar, he would be forced to sell at this moment, and certainly he would have to discount the price. And therefore, the Chacham said, as a stopgap measure, we will allow Reuven to take Maisani up to 100 zuz, even if he would have to sell his home or his sada based on a fire sale at Palga Orch Lamezel, Tvei Lav Orch Lamezel, that it's normal that someone would have to give up to a 50% discount in the time of Tishrei and during the fall. However, a person would not discount the field more than 50%, and therefore the maximum amount that we allowed to collect from Maisa Ani is going to be 100 zuz. And Rashi explains, Hilkach Ani Loi Havi, that certainly we can't consider Reuven a full-fledged Ani, Diyitel Shav El Dina, and he would be able to take even 1,000 dina, because the maisa, the value of this kaka is really 200 zuz, and therefore he's really not an oni. And the asher lo yhavi is also not considered asher, Kasher, and that's why Rabbanan allowed to take Maisa Ani as Hoyel Vilakuli Amin Nami Loyavishovin Hashtar Messiahim. The Maisa, objectively, this piece of land is not valued at 200 zuz at this moment. Hilkach Mashlim Loy Ad Messiahim. Therefore, we allow him to collect up until he would have enough to be considered that he has 200 zuz behind a mechza, and that would be 50% of the value of the Sada that Pagu Ochel Mezel Tveiloi, as it's normal to discount the price by up to 50%, but not more than that. Lemaisa, the Mefarshim struggle with this idea, as L'chayra, since the value of the property today is really not 200 zuz, as he can't get 200 zuz on the marketplace, so L'chayra, he should be considered a full-fledged ani, and he should be able to collect even up to 1,000 zuz. Potentially, the best way to explain this is we have to look at a person's field as if at this point, during the time of the fall season, there is no market to sell this property, and really the only market price of this property is based on the full price that you could get during Yom Nisan and during the spring, which is of course 200 zuz. The current price that he will get if he sells the property during Yom Tishrei and during the fall season, that is not the actual value of the property, and that is considered a discounted price. And at this point, Abaye wants to take this case of Rabbah and he wants to plug it in to the din of Nizokin. Abaye states, "V'hachinami gavin Nizokin din be'idis." We know that when someone is paying for any hezek that he caused someone, he has to pay mimetiv sedeo, mimetiv kamoi, and therefore he has to pay based on idis, and he has to pay based on today's price, which of course in Tishrei is a cheaper price, and therefore the mazik will actually have to pay more kaka in order to satisfy the obligation that he has to Shimon. For example, if Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 based on the fact that he was mazik Shimon, Reuven has a piece of kaka which is idis, and during Nisan it would be valued at $1,000 per acre, then Reuven would have to give 1 acre to Shimon to satisfy his debt to him. However, Lemaisa, since Reuven damaged Shimon in Tishrei, and he has a responsibility to pay back Shimon at this point, and during the fall season, this kaka is only valued at $500 per acre, so Reuven would have to give 2 acres to Shimon to satisfy his debt, as the Torah tells us that he has to give him idias, and he has to pay him based on today's price, and give him the best price. And Abaye continues, V'omalei'u havli beinus tvei porto, and if Shimon goes to Reuven and says that instead of giving idias, I want you to give me beinus, because that field is closer to my other fields, and therefore it's better for me to receive beinus. In this case, Amalei, Reuven could say to Shimon, Ishakles kedincha, if you will take from idis, which is the proper din, shkel kedashtra, then you will take idis, and you will get the benefit of having today's prices. However, v'iloi, that if you don't want to take idis, and instead you want to collect from beinus, shakel kiyakrit l'kamei, then you have to take the value based on what the value will be in Nisan. And of course, this would be beneficial to Reuven, as Reuven would have to give Shimon less property, as he would value it based on the higher prices that is in Nisan. And Rashi says, V'lhachi asa Yashiv l'Rabbi Subin. When the Braisa tells us that Yashiv is coming l'Rabbi Subin, is teaching us this din, D'boi l'mishkel Nizik Subin, that if the Nizik comes and tells Reuven that I don't want to take idis, but I want to take Beinus, k'goin sheish l'kaka samachla isa Beinus shal mazik, and as we explained, that he had kaka which was next to the Beinus of this mazik, v'nich le'ba, and he wants that kaka because it will be easier for him to take care of it, shakla k'yikul l'kamei, then he'll have to take based on the future price, the Shavu Kesef of Nisan, because in Nisan it's considered Shavu Kesef, and although at this point in Tishrei he can't get that value, however, since in Nisan he will get that full value, and as we stated before, that is the normal time to generally sell, therefore that is considered the set price, and if Shimon specifically wants to receive Beinus, then Reuven could give him Beinus based on the set price that will be in Nisan. And the Gemara continues, Maskel Rabacha Bar Yaakov. Rabacha Bar Yaakov asked the following question on Abaye, Im Kain, if you're telling me that once Shimon decides to take Beinus, then he won't be able to have the benefit of getting today's prices, but then it comes out that the payment of Nizokin, you're not going to get a very good payment when you take Beinus and Zeburis. And the Lamaisa, the Torah tells us that you'll always get the best value for whatever you take, and it shouldn't make a difference if you're actually collecting idis and then you'll get based on today's value, or if the Nizik actually tells the Mazik that I don't necessarily need idis and I will take Beinus and Zeburis, then in both those cases, we should still say that although Shimon agreed to take a field that is less chashuv than idis, well, the Maisa, he should still have the benefit of Meitiv Sadeo. He should get the best bang for his buck. And when Reuven agrees to give him Beinus, then Reuven should have to give him based on today's prices and not based on future prices. And although it's true that really the price is set based on Nisan, as we explained before, because that is when it is the selling season, however, the whole point of giving value to the Nizik is in order for the Nizik to make up his loss, and that would cause him to actually want to sell the Sada immediately when he gets this field, and L'chayr, he's going to sell in Tishrei, and therefore you should give them the value based on Tishrei. Since prices of sadeis in Tishrei are discounted, therefore Shimon would be able to receive a larger amount of karka. Keep in mind that based on this question of Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, the Gemara will have to find another way to answer the stira between the prices, where we saw the pasuk of Meitu Sadeh or Meitu Kamoi, and we also saw that Yoshev L'Rabbi Shav Kesef Vafilu Subin, and the Gemara will get back to that in a moment. But the Gemara continues and discusses the din of Rabbah and Elam Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. Therefore, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov explains, even if you're going to want to tell us that Rabbah's cases would be relevant to be medamah to another din, then you wouldn't be able to be medamah to the case of Hezek, but you could potentially be medamah to the din of Baal Chayiv. And it's important to note that although Benegayin is Zakin, there's a din of Idyas, as the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Kamoi. However, as we mentioned beforehand, the Me'ikr Dino and on the Raisdik level, a Baal Chayiv should not collect from Idyas and should collect from Zibarius. And the only reason why a lender collects Mim Beidness is only based on Takon Rabbanon, which is based on Tikkun Olam, Kadeshul Tinol Delos Bifnei Lovin, as people would not want to lend money if they're only going to receive back Zibarius and not receiving at least Beidness. And as the Gemara tells us, Baal Chayiv Dino Beidness, that the Dino of a Loiva is to collect from Beidness, and in this case, that the Dino of Rabba would be relevant. And the Gemara will be discussing a scenario where Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and then when Shimon came to collect the money for Reuven, he claimed to collect it in Tishrei. Certainly, as we mentioned before, in Tishrei, all fields are discounted. And certainly, if Shimon tells Reuven that I want to take Beinus, which is the proper halacha, then we would have to evaluate that field and appraise that field based on today's value. For example, if Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, when Shimon comes to collect from Reuven, the field that is generally worth $1,000 per acre during Nisan, currently valued at $500 during Yimei Tishrei, and therefore the din would be, although if Shimon came to collect his debt in Nisan, he would only get 1 acre, but since he came in Tishrei to collect his debt, he would receive 2 acres. However, Gemara continues, however, via Amalei Havli Zibarius Tvei Porto, if the lender Shimon tells Reuven that instead of taking Minabinus, I want to take Zibarius, I want to get extra land, Amalei, so Reuven could say to Shimon, Ishaklis Kadincha, if you'll take Minabinus, which is your din, Shkel Kadhashtra, then you'll get today's prices and you'll get more land. But Viloi, but if you want to ask me a favor to give you from Zibarius instead of Binus, Shokel Kiyoko Del Kamei, then you should take based on the value that will be in Nisan, and therefore you should take less land. And regarding this din, the Gemara's original question of Acha bar Yaakov asked that L'chayr, the Pasuk says Meitav is not relevant, since L'maisa B'negei Baal Chayiv, the Pasuk doesn't state Meitav, and therefore it potentially could work that Reuven could have a tanya to Shimon, that if you're going to take from Zibarius, then we should evaluate and we should appraise this property based on when the standard is to sell the property, and that is of course during Yom Nisan, and at that point the value per acre is higher, and therefore you should take less land. But the Gemara continues and says that that's also not a valid dimyon, as Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov asked this question on Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that im kein na'alta delos b'tnei lovin, that the whole point of giving bainness is because we don't want to have ni'ilis delos b'tnei lovin. We want to make sure that a lender will feel comfortable that when he comes to collect his debt, he will get treated fairly, and for example, he'll get bainness, and therefore the same svar applies that even if he's collecting minas zibarius, that he should feel that he's getting the proper value for the kaka that he's getting based on today's value. The Gemara explains this point as the Amalei, as Shimon the lender will say, Ilu Havali Zuzi Havishakli Kadashta, if I would actually have the money that I'll lend you in my own pocket, then I'll be able to take this money and buy your field from you based on today's prices. Hashta the Zuzi Gabach, now that I lent you this money and I don't have the money in my own pocket, Eshkel Kiyakut Lakameh, is it fear that we will appraise the property based on a future time frame and not based on today's prices? And Lakhari, why should I be worse off now that I lent you this money? Once again, based on the question of Rabbi Acha bar Rabika, we just proved that we can't compare the case of Baal Chayiv to the case of Rabbah, and therefore the Gemara says, Elam Rav Acha bar Rabika, therefore Rav Acha bar Rabika says that if we're going to say that this case of Rabbah will be comparable to any din, then we will compare it to the case where a woman comes to collect Haksuba, and we know that if a woman comes to collect Haksuba, either from her husband because they got divorced, or from the Yorshim because her husband died, then if she will receive Kaka, she receives Zibarius. Although we just mentioned that a lender will receive bainus, why would a woman be worse off than a lender? And Rashi brings at the bottom of the Amid from the Gemara Masechtas Gittin on Daf Mem Tesvim Beis that the reason is that although B'negei Baal Chayiv, the Rabbanim Misakin, that the lender could receive bainus as based on a tikkun oilam that shalitinal dels fnei lovin. However, that doesn't apply to ksubas isha because yosim ish rates lisa isha rates lunase. Even if she could only collect min ezbayers, she would still get married, and therefore there was no reason for takana. And we left it based on the din Torah that she only receives ksuba min ezbayers. Therefore, certainly if Rachel comes to collect a ksuba during the winter and she will collect from ezbayers, then certainly she will be given based on today's value, and she will get more kaka. However, Rabbi Acha Breda of Ika explains, but if Rachel would say to Reuven that although I really should get Zibarius, but I want you to do me a favor and give me Benis because that's close to another Sada of mine, and of course, since I'm getting better quality Sada, therefore I understand I'll get less of a Sada and I'll get a smaller parcel, Amullah. And if Reuven says to her, that if you'll take Zibarius, which is your din, then I'll give you based on today's value. However, V'loi, if you want me to do you a favor and you want me to give you Benis instead of Zibarius, then you'll have to take based on the future price, which is of course more expensive, and therefore you will get a smaller parcel than if we were to praise the Sada based on today's pricing. And Lemaisa, finally the Gemara came out with a case where you could compare it and you could be medamit to the case of Rabba. And the Gemara continues, Mikol Mokum Kasha, but Lemaisa, we have to go back to the original Kasha that Abaye asked Rabba, and Lechayr is a stira because the Pasuk states, Meitiv Sudeh, Meitiv Kama Yishalim, Meitiv In Midi Achin Eloi, and we have a Brisa that teaches us, Benegei the Din of Bar, Yoshev the Rabbi Shavu Kesef Afilu Subin. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, so Rava tells us, Kol the Yovelay Mimetiv Leisalei, that anything that Reuven will pay to Shimon based on having to pay for Nezek, he will have to give for Metiv. And even though the Torah says the Yoshev the Rabbi Shavu Kesef Afilu Subin, it doesn't mean that he could give something which is an inferior quality of Subin, but you have to give him the best quality of Subin that you have, and therefore you still give him Metiv, but you could give him Metiv from anything that you give, and therefore there is no steer between the Psukim, as when the Torah says Metiv Sedeo, with telling you that if you give a Sada, you have to give Metiv of your Sadais. And the Torah also teaches us that there's a din that you're allowed to give Shavu Kesef, and therefore you're allowed to give any type of Kesef that you want and any type of Metatlin. But if you do so, then you have to give from the best quality of that product that is available to you. And the Gemara is still not happy with this Teretz because of a Metiv Sedeo Ksiv, and as Rashi says, if it's like you said, Lichtav Metiv Stoma, then the Torah should have just stated the Metiv by itself and not said Sedeo. This way, it would be much more that whatever type of product that you give, you have to give from the best of that product. However, now that the Pasuk says Metiv Sedeo, it's mashma the only time that there's a requirement to give Metiv is only from Yisodah and not from anything else. And the Gemara continues, Elo ki as Rav Papa Rav Hunan Beir Rav Shum Beir Rav Pashur, when Rav Papa Rav Hunan Beir Rav Shur came from Yeshua Rav, he explained when the Pasuk says Yoshev L'Rabbe Shav Kesef Afilu Subin, the reason why you could even use Subin is because Kol Mila Metivu, as any type of Metavlin is considered Metiv and even Subin, and the Eloi Mizdaben Hachem Mizdaben Masachriti, and the Svar is because even if you can't sell Subin in this location, you could sell it somewhere else, and therefore there's always a value, and that's why it's considered Metav. Therefore, there is no specific requirement to give the best Subin. However, the Bar Ma'ara, this klal is not relevant to Kaka and to land. Therefore, the Torah specifically tells us, Metav Sedeo, Metav Karma Yishalim, that when giving land, you have to make sure the lace of land Metav, you have to give Metav, and since land is not movable, and we want to make sure that the Nizik could go and sell the land in order to get his money back of what he was damaged, and therefore, the Torah tells us in order to make sure that people will want to buy this land, you have to give him Indias, and that's why there's a specific requirement by the Gei Asada to give Indias, and that requirement does not extend to Metaltlin and does not extend to Subin. When the Torah tells us Metav Sedeo, there's a specific requirement to give Indias, but when the Torah tells us Yashav L'Rabbi Shav Kesef, there is no requirement to give Indias, and you can even give Subin, and we will stop over here.